Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure as always. You know, folks, as you know, I take my role as a small business advocate very seriously. Some of the things that we do here on the show include talking about helping you become a better small business owner, running your business better, getting more sales, making more profits, being more successful, et cetera, et cetera. Being happier, too. We focus on that a lot, too, don't we? But another thing that we do, and we've done since day one, is focus on the public policy issues that affect you and me and our small businesses. And what that means is that one of the things that I do is that I talk about the things that our government is doing to help us or to not help us. And that means that regardless of party, sometimes I have to talk about members of our government who are helping and members who aren't helping. And so, and that often involves the President of the United States. And as you know, our president right now is President Barack Obama. And recently, he, and by the way, one more point on that. My only goal whenever I talk about members of our government, and if they're doing something that's unfortunate, something that I'm not happy with, my only goal and my only purpose in talking about those things is with regard to how they affect you and me and our small businesses. So, and without regard for politics or policy. I mean, politics, party politics or anything like that. I've been accused of being a Republican and I've been accused of being a Democrat, both on this show. So I have an issue with something that President Obama said recently, and I'm gonna quote him here. Upon the announcement of the retirement of Justice David Souter, President Obama announced that he wanted to replace Souter with someone who was, and this is a quote, who had empathy to understand what it's like to be poor or disabled or old, or, and he went on to talk about some other groups of people. And that's the criteria by which I'm going to be selecting my judges. He absolutely used the word empathy. I heard him the moment he made the announcement. Now, not too long after that, a couple of days later, the president made good on that promise by nominating Judge Sotomayor, and to replace Souter. And based on Sotomayor's past rulings as well as some of her tenets, in some of the things that she said in her speeches and on panels, apparently, Mr. Obama accomplished his empathy goal, and I want to read a quote from one of her speeches. And this is a quote, "I would hope that a wise Latina woman with the richness of her experience would more often than not reach a better conclusion as a judge than a white male who had lived that life." Now, here's my question, and I've got a story to tell you after this. How does gender or race or experience, how does that work with what is no less than the cornerstone of American justice, and that is blind justice? When you see that lady holding up the scales, she's got a blindfold over her eyes. She can't see the parties. All she can see are the facts and the issues and reconcile that with the Constitution. That's what a Supreme Court justice is supposed to do. And empathy doesn't have play any part in that. It shouldn't. At least it hasn't for over 200 years. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. The reason why I believe this to be the case, the reason why I'm concerned about this is because of the empathy thing. That's really bothering me. I owned a company once and I needed a salesperson. I hired a salesperson who had some experience. And because I was going to give him some of our confidential intellectual property, some of our trade secrets, so to speak, on how we sell, how we price things, and all that. I didn't want to teach him all that and then I'll have him to be able to quit and immediately go to work for a competitor with my information. And so this goes on every day across the country. So I asked this gentleman before he went to work for me to sign a non-compete agreement, and he did. He signed it. And the non-compete agreement was very simple. It just required him to not be able to compete against me for a prescribed period of time and a specific geography, within a specific geography. He signed the agreement and went to work. Less than 2 years later, he left my employment, and here's why. He was actually starting his own business while he was working for me. He actually had a telephone number, a location, a storefront that he had rented. I was able to find this out just through people telling me, did you know this was going on? Because he'd been out in the marketplace, in some cases, telling customers he was calling on for me that he was going to be starting his business, and would they just wait a little while and do business with him? He actually did that. So, of course, I fired him and told him that I was going to enforce the non-compete agreement. Well, he didn't stop. He continued to do business with his new company, and I took him to court. And in the court proceedings, it was a judge. It was decided that the suit was decided by a judge, not a jury. And in those proceedings, we showed that he had signed the agreement. The agreement was placed in evidence. If you know much about non-compete agreements, you know that there have to be specific and reasonable parameters, the timing, the industry, and the geography. The period of time, the industry, and the geography have to be specific and reasonable. In other words, you can't tell somebody they can never work in that industry for the rest of their life, or something like that, or in the United States or in wherever. It has to be reasonable and specific. And this agreement was all of those things. So specific and so reasonable, and the evidence against this person, what they had done, the blatant way they had violated this agreement and broken a law in our state, which was, there's a law against actually competing against your employer, right? And so when we come back after these messages, I'm going to tell you what the judge said, and then what happened later when empathy became part of the equation. 20 of Jim Blassie. Stay with me. Every day the answer seems more distant. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out, using it to your advantage. We built it for you so you can have the maximum opportunity to be successful. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to check out my blog, which we update on a regular basis. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. You can check out our knowledge base, askjim.biz, and see what's going on there. Ask questions, get answers. You can listen to archives, read articles, check out our Brain Trust members. Lots of stuff there. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes, we got something that'll help you. And also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. I'm telling you a story about my brush with empathy, my experience with a judge who had empathy. And I mentioned earlier that President Obama has chosen Judge Sonia Sotomayor to replace David Souter, and his criteria includes empathy. He said that. Those words came out of his mouth. And so when he said that, I thought about this case that I had had, experience that I had had in court with a judge who had empathy. And so I'm offering my story as an example of why I think empathy has no place in the courtroom on the judge's bench, at least not in most cases. I'm trying to imagine when it would, especially at the Supreme Court level. So let me remind you what happened. I hired an employee. He signed a non-compete agreement. He later violated that agreement. Actually, broke the law in my state by competing against me while he was my employee. But he was also starting his own company. I took him to court, showed the evidence that he had violated the agreement. The judge ruled in my favor. That's the news. The judge ruled in my favor, ruled against this man, told him he had to cease and desist competing against me until she started the clock again on the non-compete agreement, because he never had stopped, and told him to stop until that time frame had run out. Well, I didn't ask for damages. I wasn't trying to hurt the guy. I just wanted him to stop competing against me and to basically comply with the contract he signed. Well, he left the courtroom again. He left the courtroom that day and never stopped competing against me. So within a few months, we were able to bring him back to court to show the judge, with plenty of evidence, including customers, that he had not stopped competing against us, had violated the ruling of the court. Well, here's what happened when we got there. The judge did not enforce the contract or her ruling. And here's why. She said that since the original court date, she had determined that this man's wife, a sibling of this man's wife, as a teenager had been killed in an automobile accident, and that unfortunate death had impacted her own daughter, the judge's daughter, because they knew each other. And the judge said she felt that this family had suffered enough, and that she didn't want to add any more hardship to the family. And so she threw the case out after having already ruled that he had violated the contract and ruled that he should stop competing against me. When he didn't, and we brought him back to court, this empathy that she had for the family who had had this death, this empathy that she'd had, caused her to throw out her previous ruling. And basically, the net effect was to rule against me, even though I had the evidence, even though the man had broken the law and violated the contract and violated her own ruling before. So that's judicial empathy, ladies and gentlemen. And I came face to face with judicial empathy and found it violated a valid contract. I found that it disregarded testimony, facts, and evidence in this courtroom, and it preempted my constitutional right to petition the court with the expectation of receiving blind justice, not empathetic justice. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a true story. This happened to me. I'll never forget it as long as I live. The judge called me and my attorney in chambers. She wouldn't divulge this information. She wouldn't say her empathy in the courtroom. She called me and the attorney in her office and told us about her empathetic episode, this attack of empathy that she had. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't know anything about what had happened to this man's family. This had happened years before. In fact, it happened before the man even came to work for me. So, my brush with touchy-feely justice only cost me a few thousand dollars in damages and legal fees. But if empathy is a basis for deciding cases at the Supreme Court level, this is what I fear. If empathy is involved in deciding cases at the Supreme Court level, when that becomes a reality, I fear it will undermine two of the cornerstones of our nation: the sanctity of a contract, which is what happened to me, and I fear that it will undermine the judicial system that for more than 200 years has been the model for the rest of the world. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you hear a politician talking about empathy in the courtroom, now you know what it looks like. And if Judge Sotomayor is approved by the Senate, and I expect she will be, I hope she thinks about some of these things before she's empathetic on the bench. Right back, quick break. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Brian Moran, after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.